Good morning. We're going to continue our theme that we started last time on looking through the books of Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. I'm not sure at this point whether we'll read them entirely or just highlights, but last time we read Joshua 1 and 2, talking about when Moses died and God told them to pick up and get ready to cross the Jordan, and all the people said, "Joshua, we're with you, 100%. And they got ready, and they got all packed up and organized. And now in Joshua chapter 3, we'll see them actually cross the Jordan. And in Joshua 4, we'll see them make some preparations to how they're going to settle in and how they're going to remember that great day when God brought them deliverance. So let's start in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan." So they've been camping a ways from the river, and they left there and went right up to the river. "He and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over." So they moved their camp, which was away from the river, a place called Shittim, and went right up by the river, and that's where they camped. "So they came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host," went through the army. "They commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it.'" So that's pretty simple instructions. And you'll see that back in the days when very few people had Holy Spirit, remember for a long time Moses was the only one, then at one point the work became too much for Moses and God put the Spirit on 70 other men so they would help him. And but still, that was 70 people had Holy Spirit, or maybe perhaps 71, including Moses. Out of a few million, that's still a pretty small proportion. So God had a lot of physical things they could look at. You know, they had the Ark of the Covenant, which was, you know, the box that contained the tablets of the law from Mount Sinai and a variety of other things God asked them to put in there. And you had the Tabernacle of the Congregation, the big tent where the Ark was kept. And there were all sorts of symbolic colors and things and ornaments about the tabernacle and that the priests wore. And they saw these physical things. But today, of course, we have the Spirit of God born within. So the physical stuff isn't important. Now, in a lot of Christian groups, they still like big physical stuff. They like cathedrals and altars and crucifixes. And there's nothing wrong with that if it helps people believe God's word, but it's not necessary today because we have Holy Spirit. We can talk directly to God and hear directly from him. We don't need to have all of these physical reminders, although they don't hurt, but they're not a requirement today. Yet, in so many Christian groups, the whole concept of being born again of God's Spirit and being able to operate in your daily life is just not known or talked about. So they put a big emphasis on the physical stuff. Any rate, they have a physical thing to follow. They can follow the Ark of the Covenant carried by the priests across the Jordan River. So that's what they were told. When you see the Ark of the Covenant carried by the priests and followed by the Levites, that's when you get up and go. So let's look at it again. Verse 3, "And they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it.'" Verse 4, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits." Now, cubits about a foot and a half. It was basically the length of the king's forearm from his elbow to the tip of his finger. So it's about 18 inches, about a foot and a half. So if you're going to have 2,000 cubits, that's 3,000 feet or 100 yards, length of a football field. Yet there shall be a space of about 100 yards between you and it. So you have the Ark of the Covenant carried by the priests and followed by the Levites, and then there's going to be 100 yards until the rest of the Israelites are there. So again, verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. You've never been there before. And Joshua, verse 5, said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. Sanctify yourselves, or consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Verse 6, and Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I magnify you, or make you great, in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And that's the ultimate way to be magnified in the sight of people, is not to talk about how great and smart you are, but just to walk with God and let God make it clear to people. That's the best way. Jesus Christ didn't go on a PR campaign to talk about how great he was. He just spoke the word of God. Same with the Apostle Paul and many others. And that's what we need to do. We just live the word, we speak the word, we believe the word, and God blesses us. But then it says, verse 7, this day, and the Lord said unto Joshua, verse 7, this day will begin to magnify thee, or make you great in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And I've talked before, when it says that God is with somebody, in most cases, it means they have the Spirit of God upon them, and they're operating the manifestations of Holy Spirit, and they're walking with God. So they're seeing results in their lives because of the power of God. So as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Verse 8, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. So the priests are supposed to walk out and stand in the river. Now, what if somebody had said, I don't want to get my shoes wet, I just polished them, or my sandals. Then it wouldn't have worked, because the word of the Lord was, go stand in the river. And when God says something, you just have to do it. There's an old saying, don't argue with God. Well, they didn't argue with God, and so we'll see what happened. So verse 8, thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. Verse 9, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, verse 10, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. So why did God tell them the priests had to walk into the water? I don't know, but that's what he said. And that was the word of the Lord. As soon as those priests get their feet wet, the river is going to stop, and it'll stand up in a heap, and you'll be able to walk through on dry ground. Verse 14, and it came to pass, when the people were moved from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. So this was flood stage. We've seen rivers, flood stage. We generally have that happen in the spring where we live here on the east coast of the U.S. when the snow melts and the waters come down, we have the spring flooding or the spring, the rivers get very, very full. And if they're going to overflow their banks, it's usually in the spring. But this was in the harvest. So that was likely in the autumn that they had it. So same situation, just a different time of year when the waters were at flood stage. So it's tough enough to cross a wide river with a few million people anyway, but when it's at flood stage, that's even tougher. So the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. So let's see. Let's go back to verse 15, get a running start. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, what we call now the Dead Sea, failed and were cut off. All the waters stopped, and the people passed over right against Jericho. So they went over on dry ground right near the city of Jericho. Verse 17, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So they crossed the river. And all they had to do was listen to God. The priests had to step into the water. And the priests stood there in the middle of the river while everybody passed over. Chapter 4, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every man a tribe. And command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. So again, God wanted physical reminders. Nothing wrong with that. I have souvenirs from places I've been, and gifts people have given me, and they remind me of nice stuff. But back then it was even more important because they didn't have the Spirit of God, so they needed a physical representation of something God had done. So God told Joshua, pick one man out of each tribe, have him go back in the river and pull a stone out of the riverbed and put them in a pile at your camp for tonight. Verse 4, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. So a pretty big stone, because he had to carry it on his shoulder. It wasn't just a little pebble. So verse 5 again, Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Verse 7, then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial, a reminder, a souvenir unto the children of Israel forever. Verse 8, and the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the Ark stood in the midst of Jordan, until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. Verse 11, it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests, in the presence of the people. So the priests were first in and last out, first ones to go in the river, and after all the people had passed over, and the 12 stones had been gathered, then the priests finally left the river. Verse 12, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Manasseh. Remember, these are the ones that wanted to camp on the east side of the river. But God said, leave your families there, but you men of war, you cross over with the other tribes to help them claim their land. So these guys passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified, or again made Joshua great in the sight of all Israel, and they feared or revered him. They had great respect for him as they feared or respected Moses all the days of his life. See, the people had to respect Joshua and listen to what he said if God was going to accomplish what he wanted to for his people. So God made Joshua look great and very respected among the Israelites. Verse 15, and the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. Now notice Joshua did what God told him. It's still freedom of will. We've read other records, and we'll see some in here, where the people, the leader, even the leaders, the ones with the Spirit of God, don't want to do what God says. Remember when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh? He got on a ship going the other way towards Spain. He finally ended up in Nineveh, of course. So it does happen that people don't listen. So it starts with guidance from God. Then the person listening, in this case Joshua, has to do what God says. And then ultimately the rest of God's people have to believe what Joshua said. That's the way it worked in the Old Testament. Today we can cut out the middleman because we all have God in Christ in us. God can just tell us what to do and we can do it. But that's the way it worked at that time. But you'll notice Joshua is not arguing with God. He's doing what God said. So, verse 17, Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, verse 18, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and overflowed all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. Maybe that was in the spring, because generally the first month was in the spring, but perhaps with the climate they were able to harvest in the spring. I don't know. Don't worry about it. It was flood stage. So the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, isn't it interesting that the 40 years in the wilderness started with God drying up the Red Sea so they could cross over the Red Sea, and it ended with God drying up the Jordan River? Sort of like bookends. Started with pulling the waters back in the Red Sea, and ended with pulling the waters back in the Jordan. So that period of 40 years in the wilderness has been bookended and complete, and now we enter a brand new period in the history of the Israelites, where they're going to go back and claim the land which God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob about, I think it was about 400 years ago. So we'll see more about this as we go through. They're finally coming home. But of course, during the 400 years, a lot of other people had moved in. So God is going to help them chase out the people that have moved in so they can claim what is rightfully theirs. So Heavenly Father, thank you for these records in your word. for the examples of wonderful men and women like Joshua and the priests that listened to him and the other children of Israel that followed their instruction. And may we continue to trust you and realize that they did so well with just a few people having the Spirit of God upon them. How much greater can we do with us all being born again and all having direct access to you and all being able to pray in the name of Jesus Christ using the power and the authority of that name whenever we pray. So we thank you for this day to rejoice in your word, pray for one another. May those that hear this teaching down the line also be blessed and thankful, looking to you, realizing that you are the source of all that we need. We thank you for all that you provide and for the joy of trusting you and walking with you day by day. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen.